will open it up now for questions. And I can see that several of you already lifted your hand. I believe, William, you were the first one to raise your hand. So please go ahead with your question.
Thank you, Alejandro. Thank you for the presentation. I have a couple here from my side. First, I would like to ask about the new pricing changes, right? I was under the impression that equity revenues would suffer a little bit more and that the CSD revenues wouldn't grow that much. So I just want to make sure that the current level we saw in terms of fees for both lines is what we should expect ahead, or if there was anyone off here that made those revenues a little bit higher during this change, right? I'll do my second one later.
Okay. So like I mentioned very briefly, William, we also looked at that, and you can see that the quarter-on-quarter growth on the custody revenues was 61%. When you drill down into that, 41% was due to the change in fees and equity, and the other 20% is explained by the increase overall in assets under custody. So both of these reasons should continue in the future. We should expect similar levels of AUCs because we understand that asset prices are at a new floor after the changes of last year. The expectations of what of the reforms that the government can push through and so on and so forth. So asset levels should continue, and yes, there will be volatility on the equity side, but again, we expect corporate debt to continue to be issued at a strong rate. So again, asset levels, we understand, should continue pretty much where they are. And the fees for revenues, obviously, they are in place. So as we understand, yes, you can run rate, you can multiply this quarter for the next following quarters.
Perfect. My second question is related to dividends. If there's any new announcements or you have decided in terms of timing or sizing, this so, would be helpful.
So in terms of dividends, last night the board approved to propose to the annual general assembly, a dividend of $120 million paid in dollars. The assembly is on April 10th, and typically we pay 10 days after the assembly. So right now the proposed dividend is that amount and payable probably towards April 20th.
Thank you very much.
Welcome. Pedro, please go ahead with your question.
Hi, Alejandro. Hi, Mario. Good morning. Thank you for the call. I wanted to add on William's question on fees. You mentioned that the fee change proved revenue neutral this quarter. If this changes going forward, could we see another fee adjustment?
No, we don't have a fee adjustment. We're not looking at further fee adjustments. So this situation, again, should continue quarter over quarter. We believe that where we are in equities, which is 2 basis points for trading and 3 basis points for clearing, netting, and settlement, that is close to international standards. So we don't foresee a change of that right now.
Okay, thank you, Alejandro.
Nacho, you're next.
Hi, Alejandro. Hi, Mario. How are you? Thank you for taking my questions. The first question is regarding what you mentioned about the local ETF of equity. I want to understand what you meant. Are you thinking about issuing an ETF that will be traded locally and also internationally in the US with companies that are, of course, that do not have ADRs, or maybe they have, but targeted to bring the panel leader, let's say it in a way, to the US. So that can be, you can eventually build like an S&P Merval ETF directly. Yeah. Or, and also that will perhaps include sectorial ETFs like banks and oil and gas, et cetera. That's the first question.
Sure. Yes, we plan on... We are working with some local asset managers to understand in detail what entails the launch of a local ETF, 100% local. So it would be, we would probably start with the S&P Merval, but yes, we are interested in the future looking at sectorial ETFs. The ETF would be traded locally. The underlyings would be local as well. And we don't foresee listing this ETF abroad. However, foreigners would have access to this ETF, either coming directly into BIMA or indirectly, as a lot of foreigners do today, through Euroclear and Clearstream. So this security would, or this exposure to Argentina through our indices, would be available in the international platforms through Euroclear and Clearstream. We obviously compare ourselves, we benchmark ourselves in terms of our market data business. One large reason why it's small is that our indices are very little, are not used practically. And our indices are not used because we're still standalone country, and that will take a while. But instead of waiting for that, we are looking to launch local ETF to help us increase liquidity in the local equity, and at the same time, increase a new revenue source through of our sectorial indices.
Okay. And the next question is, do you have a timeline or some date that could eventually this materialize?
No, we don't have a timeline. Most of our resources today are dedicated to launching the new real-time clearing platform, which is on April 24th. Again, most of our focus is there. In the meantime, we are exploring, not just by ourselves, with some local asset managers, how the process would work. We have been talking to global players who service ETFs as well, because it does require other types of platforms. It is not simply, using the existing technology. We also need to add some more features to help the arbitrage, help the basket, and so on and so forth.
Okay. Now, the second question is, take me more like a messenger here. I receive a lot of questions for retail investors and also for some institutional investors that they question why there are no ETF CDRs of ETF of debt listed in BIMA, either launched by Caja de Valores or Comafi. If there is a restriction on that, or why? But we have a great offer of equity and ETFs, but no.
Right. That's true. We have identified that as a need that the market has, and both Comafi and ourselves have gone several times to the Comisión Nacional de Valores. Locally, here under Argentine regulations, any CDR, any local depository receipt of either a company or an ETF or any type of global security That CDR is considered a new issuance, and therefore the Comisión Nacional de Valores has to approve that. The Comisión Nacional de Valores right now does not want to approve fixed income ETFs.
Okay. And two more questions. That is the following is, it's a silly question. I think if you can take a look in page 6, I think maybe there's a typo, the last sentence. It says in the fourth quarter 25, it was 8 BPFs. Maybe it's fourth quarter 24.
Yes, but that changed in the third quarter. So in the third quarter, we reduced from 8 to 7. But thanks for that. I'll take a look to make sure it's not incorrect.
Okay. And I had another question, but well, maybe. You mentioned that 40% of the cash was dollarized. But yeah. And you mentioned that the dividend is going to be around $120 million, isn't it?
That's correct. So we are proposing a dividend of, actually the proposal is in pesos, 171 billion pesos, payable in dollars according to the exchange rate of the day before of the assembly. So the actual amount of dollars may change, but it should be close to $120 million.
Okay. And now, yes, the last question. Sorry for being a drag. Are you planning to extend short selling to other liquid securities like equity or something like that? Or?
Yes, definitely. The new, I should have said this before, but the new clearing system is going to allow us to be much more flexible. We had short selling and securities lending before we changed to the NASDAQ custody system back in September of 2023. With the new custody system, we had to stop that, and we are relaunching it now again with the new clearing system. So we began with these few securities, but we plan on extending that significantly in the second half of this year after we have stabilized with the new clearing system. And that is part of our HFT strategy. So we want to bring HFTs that have other arbitrage strategies that are not really being used locally. As you know, most of the arbitrage is implied FX, whereas when you look internationally, there are HFTs used typically all asset classes. And here, having cauciones as part of the exchange and therefore electronically being able to not only arbitrage interest rates, but also take funding for your arbitrage trade, that from what we have spoken, that should help HFTs come and allow them to implement strategies across all asset classes, options, futures, in fixed income, rates, and FX as well. Because at the end of the day, everything has interest rates implied in them.
Great news. Well, thank you very much, Ali, and have a good weekend all.
Thank you. Same to you, Nacho. Ludovic?
Yes, good morning. Good morning and congratulations for the results. I have two small questions. One is on to check the dividend payments. So if I did well the math, the dividend per share would be 22.5 pesos.
It's actually 28 pesos per share.
At 28, sorry.
That's
okay, because so the approximately taking into account the price of last closure price, we would be at an 8% dividend yield.
Almost, yes.
Okay, Thanks. And my second question is about your net cash position into the balance sheet at the end of December 2025. What was the amount of the net cash position?
Ludovic, I don't have that information with me right now. Mario here can help with it.
Yes,
Thank you, Mario.
you asked for that and I didn't pass it to you before. Hello, Ludovic. Good morning. How
Good
are you?
morning. Hi.
Approximately $390 million. Remember that in the
Congratulations.
third quarter it was 331. Now it's $390 million.
Great. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
So that's all for me. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. And finally, George, I see you with your hand raised as well. Would you like to ask your question?
Thanks, Alejandro. Just on the higher expenses, you mentioned bringing in-house some of the software engineers. Would that not lead to lower technology expenses, or is there not like an offset of lower expenses because previously it was outsourced?
Yes, it should be net net approximately the same because it was an outsourced cost that we have that we're bringing in-house. But it explains the jump in the salaries line, in the compensation line. So not really a savings, but more but moving between two accounts.
Got it. And then I'm sorry, I missed your explanation for the higher taxes within expenses. And can
Yes.
you also clarify that the jump in income tax?
Yes. And you're right, those are two different tax points. First of all, one of the expense lines that we have is taxes which are applied directly on our revenue. This is called ingresos brutos locally, and it is 5.5% of our revenue. So this is a tax line that, and this is an expense line, I'm sorry, that has been increasing quarter every quarter directly tied to the revenue increase. We have been working with the government of the city of Buenos Aires, and we have two plans in place. One is to move parts of our company to an area where the city of Buenos Aires is promoting the area by reducing ingresos brutos. So the activity related to Tecnología Valores, for example, and part of the activity relating to Caja Valores will be there in that area called Parque Patricios, and that will allow us to raise to zero that percentage of the activity in that area. The other thing that we are doing as well is we are moving part of the activity that BIMA has. And when I mean activity, what I mean actually is our internal processes, not client activity per se, but either where our providers are contracted from or where parts of our internal processes, accounting, audits, and so on and so forth, where parts of those are done. That will be moved to Cordoba, which is also promoting and reducing and charging lower ingresos brutos. So through those two strategies, we should start to see that expense line flatten out and not increase with revenue anymore. So that will be a significant saving. In terms of capital gains, I'm sorry, gains on taxes, the taxes on our gains. Yes, the percentage has jumped from previous quarters, and that is related to the investment activity that we had this quarter. So there's some types of investments that don't have that don't pay income tax as long as you continue to roll them over We finished quite a part of that in order to be liquid with dollars to pay out the dividend. So finishing those investments and leaving them liquid in dollars produced a higher capital gains tax.
Got it. And so does that explain the higher taxes within the expenses?
No, the higher taxes within the expenses is the first explanation. The second explanation is related to the higher capital gains taxes. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. That's clear. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I don't see any more questions. I'll recall at this point that you can always write to us at ri@bima.com.ar. You can ask us there any additional questions you may have. We have already uploaded the presentation and the financial statements for the year. We will be uploading the Excel with these numbers, and we will be translating and sending out to you later today the order for the AGM that we will hold on April 10th. So with that, I would like to thank you for joining us today, and we will continue to be in touch. Have a nice weekend.